This is Writing Boss, a podcast about becoming the right kind of manager for a creative person. Myself. I'm Wendy Kays, and in this episode, I'm tackling the fourth step in goal setting, which is making a list of knowledge and skills I need to reach my goal of becoming a professional author. My favorite joke is the one about the brain surgeon and writer playing golf. The brain surgeon tells the writer, "Guess what? I'm going to take a year's sabbatical and write a book." The writer, excited, says, "Really? What a coincidence! I'm going to take a year's sabbatical and do some brain surgery." This joke gets more and more hilarious to me with each year I struggle to write and publish a first book, let alone a series of them. When I first decided to become an author, I didn't need to learn anything. Everything I wrote was golden, precious beyond words. Now, I've learned better. In his TED Talk, behavioral economist Dan Ariely introduced what he called the IKEA effect. He and his colleagues, Michael Norton and Daniel Mochin, professors at Harvard and Tulane, respectively, discovered in their research a, quote, "general overfondness we have for stuff we've made ourselves," unquote. To put it more bluntly, we love what we build, even if it's terrible. Just putting effort into something gives meaning and value to it. The people who built IKEA furniture in Dan's study estimated the value of the IKEA furniture they built far higher than anyone did who hadn't built it. This goes hand in hand with the psychological Dunning-Kruger effect. Those with the highest level of skill tend to underrate their abilities. They recognize how much they don't know and how much better they could perform. Those who perform worst tend to lack a sense of what skills they're missing and remain willfully ignorant of their potential. Those who perform worst at a task overrate their skills the most, whether they're drivers, doctors, political leaders, or students. The only way to break the hold of the IKEA effect and the Dunning-Kruger effect is for the worst performers to recognize the gap between what they think they know and don't, or between the product of their effort and the product of an actual expert. So, if I want to break out of being blind to or willfully ignorant of my potential, I need to recognize how much I don't know, how much better I could perform, and recognize that the potential reader of my books has a far more accurate opinion of my work than I do. So, how do I find that humility without crushing myself? By making a list of the knowledge and skills I need to become one of the people with the highest level of skill. I made two different lists, because I'm me. I have a comprehensive, advanced list. Then, because that one is debilitatingly scary, I have a basic list. On the basic list, I have writing, duh, with the basic sub-skills: story structure, genre conventions, character arc, plot, theme, dialogue, description, grammar, punctuation. I've also got research, because I need to know the book market before I start a huge project, and how to gather and check for the material for what I'm writing, and how to find and learn the skills I don't have yet. I also need some knowledge of graphic design for figuring out if my book cover works, not to mention my formatting and website, as well as typography and page layout basics. Clearly, I also need some tech skills on my basic list: learning writing, formatting, web publishing, mailing list, payment, and other kinds of software. I also need to learn marketing, which includes social skills, advertising, sales and distribution, and how to calculate return on investment. The last thing on my basic list, which should probably be my first because I'm publishing this podcast, are the management skills: leadership, workflow, budgeting, and accounting. On the advanced list, I have things like learning advanced skills in all the areas from the basic list, and then HTML, CSS, voice performance, and audio engineering for recording audiobooks, video production for doing a YouTube channel, photography, and all the other scary stuff I can't think about now, but would be so great to be able to do if I were the dream version of myself. As I read over these lists, it's also clear I can't neglect working on my creativity, learning, emotional intelligence, and problem-solving knowledge and skill if I want to be the kind of person who learns all this and actually uses it. And there it is, the painful awareness washing over me of the gulf between the knowledge and skills I have now and what I need to succeed. When I do an honest self-assessment of what I have compared to what I need, I can see I won't get where I want to go without working hard. To get where I want to go, I have to learn more and be able to do more than I can right now. Ow. Humility hurts. But humility is a good thing I've got to hold on to tightly. If I start thinking I'm the best and I've got it made, I'll stop looking for ways to improve. I won't become more than I am now. I want to be really, really good at what I do. I want it more than I want the comfort of willful ignorance and belief I could do well, a comfort I can only keep if I never try to do well. I'm sure you've noticed that whenever someone with a low skill level, like me, bangs out a manuscript, the actual story on the page is way less awesome than it seemed while it was still rattling around unwritten inside the head. It takes skill, hard-won skill and knowledge, to translate the potential of a story onto a page. Clearly, continuing education will be a huge part of reaching my goal, not just because the skill and knowledge required to get what I want is so much more than I imagined, but also because the minute I learn how to use formatting software or a social media platform, a new version of the software will come out and make my knowledge and skill obsolete. The reading market will shift, the marketing atmosphere will change, social norms will morph, and tax and privacy laws will get even more incomprehensible, just like they always do. I think the only thing that won't change is storytelling craft and the basics of accounting. But you know, I wouldn't even put a bet on that. I've spent more than a decade learning, practicing, and preparing already. I had hoped I would be done by now, but I'm not done. I'll never be done. I have to just accept that, absorb it, and be okay with it if I want to move forward. Sure, it's tempting to do only so much hard work and then coast or get someone else to pick up the slack. I can't help thinking it would be way easier to just hire someone else to do the parts of publishing I can't or don't want to. Or take the shortcut of just paying some other author to walk me through their process for building a story, launching a book, or marketing, so I don't have to learn everything. Just what I need to know to rush through to the end and check off my goal. Or maybe I could sign away my story rights and most of the profit just to have someone else do the rest once it's written. After all, the only really fun part of writing is coming up with the stories and slamming out rough drafts. However, as much as I want to kick back, I also have to pay attention to the results if I do. If I give up responsibility, I also give up rewards. If I opt out of the work, I also opt out of the meaning and value my work gives to my story, thanks to the IKEA effect. If I hand my projects to other people, I give up my independence and control to them. Only you can decide where on the spectrum you find a comfortable balance between extremes. However, as I look at my list of skills and knowledge to learn, I'm discovering again how important it is to know what's most important to me. The why I'm writing makes some of these business decisions about hiring out, signing up, or signing away rights much easier. After all, someone primarily interested in financial freedom would make way different decisions than someone primarily focused on helping other people. Again, I'm going back to my motivation episode and looking at the list of reasons I want to be a writer. Already, spending the time thinking about why I want what I want is paying off. I refer back to my reasons for writing far more than I ever thought I would, even at this point, still in the learning and setting up process. It's not just daily motivation, it's also the foundation of so many other parts of building my business to fit my individual needs and wants. This list of skills and knowledge is another key document I'll rely on to build my business and protect myself. As my own manager, I need it to figure out how to assign myself projects at the ability level I'm at now. If my focus as a patron and servant leader is to set myself up for consistent progress and success, I can't afford to make an optimistic but blind guess about which jobs I'm ready to take on when. I need to smooth the way by choosing the right project every time I sit down to work. I can also use this list of skills and knowledge to plan learning time into my work schedule. I can learn skills just before I plan to need them, or I can plan to learn the skills I need to level up while working on a project I can already handle. Sure, I'll learn by doing, but I also need to make time for formal skill-building work and practice, especially if it's a new skill like website building or linking a newsletter sign-up form to a blog. That's not something you want to be trying at the last minute, if you're not the kind of person who loves deadlines because they clarify your thinking and energize you. Do you love deadlines, or does last-minute stress seem to cut you off at the knees? Again, looking at the amount we have to learn can be daunting, to say the least. However, we don't have to learn it all at once. Nor do we have to remember that list anymore. Now that we've got it down on paper, we can pull it out only to refer to it for scheduling work, instead of holding it in our heads all the time, where we have more important things processing. In a way, by listing obstacles and everything we need to learn, we can spend more time focusing on the positive as we go forward. The potential negative has been considered, prepared for, and built into our plan. I don't have to dwell on what I don't know or what might go wrong once I've already got that all on my lists and figured out how to deal with it. Focusing on a bad outcome makes the disaster my goal. Instead, when my mind wanders toward fear of this or that, I can simply remind myself what I've decided to do if the worst happens, and then turn my attention back to the task at hand. The point of these exercises is to get all this out so we don't have to hold it in our heads as worries. We can be in the moment, enjoying our work, the feeling of satisfaction steady progress toward our goal creates, learning new things, and looking forward to our celebratory milestones. This is the core of being a genuinely positive person, by the way. I can be a positive person and see where obstacles and challenges lie at the same time. A positive person sees the problems, but believes they can be overcome. Knows the worst, but expects the best. A positive person has plenty of reasons to complain, but chooses to talk about solutions, reasons for hope, and faith in the future instead. A positive attitude is a skill I can learn too, one I can practice and get good at little by little, just like all the other character skills I want in a person working for me. Skills like honesty, loyalty, dedication, trust, faith, and integrity. Skills of character which will help me reach goals in all areas of my life, not just in my career. I've been humbled and a little humiliated by making this list of knowledge and skills I need, but haven't got. However, I've also learned about the Dunning-Kruger effect. If I want to be one of the best in my craft, I also need to feel like I'm not one of the best. I need to keep my eye on the gap between where I am and where I could be next. I've got to keep my level of taste at least one step above my ability to write, so I'm never quite satisfied. And this point suggests another potential use for the list of skills and knowledge you need to succeed. An optional one. When you employ yourself, you have no clear career ladder to climb. Job titles, pay grades, security clearance, office location, all those things signal where you are, how far you've come, and what the next steps are. We don't have that stuff writing on our laptops whenever we can get some peace. It's hard to know where we are, how far we've come, and what the next steps are. However, if you wanted to, you could create a career ladder for yourself based on the skill you need to reach each level. Only if you want to, of course. Setting up your own series of levels, titles, pay grades, etc. might be amusing, whether or not it's particularly helpful. But it might be helpful. For helpful in the literal sense, I'll have to wait for the next episode. My goal is audacious. My obstacle and knowledge lists are long, and I could clearly use some help and advice. That's the next step in setting goals. I'll figure out where I can look for that help next week on Writing Boss, because clearly, I'm not ready for brain surgery or publishing. Thanks for listening to Writing Boss. You can read the transcripts on my blog at writingboss.com and email me at wendykays@writingboss.com. Please leave a review, comment on the blog, and check out my Patreon page at patreon.com/writingboss. See you next Monday.